The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, I would hate to let the guy that I like know that I like him. How miserable that would be.
Worst thing in the world.
How miserable also, would it be to indicate to someone that I really enjoy spending time with, that I enjoy spending time with them?
His boy would know if you had no chance.
That's true. He would shut it down.
If it's really his best friend.
Yeah, if this has happened to me before.
And if his best friend is not doing the thing, we've had this happen on the mm-hmm. cast before, where the guy's like, I want to help the girl I like date my best friend. It's like, don't put yourself there, man. You're Lancelotting yourself.
All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, hosted by The Crunch, hosted by Ethan and Patrick, the only podcast that's hosted by Ethan and Patrick. It's your boy, Ethan.
Doctor. And I'm Patrick. You'll never believe it, but that's me.
I'm Dr. Ethan. I'm the doctor of the mind and the surgeon of the heart. I'm here to solve all of your dating problems. People write into us on Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. If you have a dating question for yourself or a friend or a family member, write it in.
Or a dog.
We can help with dog love.
Puppy love.
Dog to dog love we can help with. Any dog to any other species cannot help. If you're a white woman, don't write in. All right.
I'm not going to talk about my Twitter, but I've been workshopping this tweet for a while.
Okay, tell me.
I don't. It's the problem because I have the punchline mm-hmm. and like the setup, but mm-hmm. I don't. So I have the premise and the punchline, but not like the setup.
Sure.
So it's like white girls love Twilight because Bella Swan is the quintessential white girl.
Yes.
One, she's sad for no reason. Two, blank. Three, wants to have sex with a dog. That's the punchline, but I don't know what the second one is.
I don't know enough about Twilight to make the joke.
Me either.
I've never read it. I think it's good. Keep that in the chamber. Maybe someone can help us out.
Someone, please, if you can think of, it's got to be something that's like kind of funny and is somewhat, again, you can be as misogynistic as you want as long as you say white girl.
Two, falls in love with a guy way older than her.
No, it's like you gotta keep it away from that area. True. You know, it's like sad
that's
all the
true.
Time.
That all the
hates
time.
Her dad. Does she hate her dad? I don't
Does
know.
Does she hate her dad?
She goes and lives with her dad.
Yeah.
She's just quintessential white girl, sad for no reason, from a broken home. I don't know. That's not fun. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll think about it. I'm actually going to go because of that. I'm going to go read all four Twilight books. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to give you an answer.
Dude, the Is This For Kids episode about Twilight, I learned way too many things about Twilight that I did not want to know.
Really?
Yeah, it's like weird. There's like that. There's no way that book was for kids. I can't believe that they had that in libraries.
No. It was no, it was not for kids. I mean, it was about a woman. What?
No, not why.
Is that why? Oh, okay. This is a different reason, probably.
I've never read it,
so I really don't know anything about it. All I know about Twilight is that it is about a woman. Like, I just use the only fact I know about that
That's
book.
The only thing you knew?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know a little bit more about Twilight than you then. It's about a woman who's in love with both a vampire and a werewolf, and she has to choose between them.
Could it maybe be one, sad all the time, two, thinks Robert Pattinson really did do a great job as Batman, three, wants to have sex with a dog?
I don't know.
What can we say? Except we're here to help you with your dating questions, and Patrick's going to bring one up right now.
Yes.
And we are going to answer the query.
Hey.
Hey.
I had a dating question, but
good.
I want
You're
to remain
in the right
anonymous.
Place.
I want to remain anonymous. I am a werewolf, and there's a girl. There are a few girls I like within my friend group who are really close friends with each other. If I ask one of them out on a date and they say no, is it okay to ask another one out? If so, how long should I wait before asking the second one out on a date? Dude, tread lightly. That's all I can say.
My advice is to be the exact opposite. Text them all at the same time.
That's the only two options.
You got to do the shotgun method. Just go. Because then, if all four say no, or however many there are, you get it done in an instant, right? You just drive to each of their houses. Maybe some of them live together. You could do a group ask out. Would either of you like to go out with me? I like you both. You could put them all in one group text even and just be like, hey.
Be like, hey, I think you're really cute. Want to go out? Oh, shoot. I thought these would send separately. Ethan left the chat.
You could do that.
That's a good fake text. That's a good fake text.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you just, this is your time to show what you're made of. Okay. Patrick says tread lightly. No. I think in my experience, women find it endearing when a man once is brave enough to ask them out. Even if they all say no, they'll be like, yeah, Brett asked us all out. And awesome. That'll kind of be the end of it, you know? Like, we all said no. Or I went on one date with them. It was fine. We aren't dating. Or you'll end up dating. That's like what friend groups are for when you're not married. Is to kind
friend
of like...
Friend groups are for dating.
Friend groups are kind of to date. Like, if you're in a friend group and there's not at least like one girl there that you want to date... I actually don't think anyone's in a friend group that they're not in because there's one other person there that they kind of want to date, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Friend groups are just it was the solution that men invented. I do believe that friend groups were invented by men.
Back in when they were in caves, they were like scheming around the fire after the ladies went to bed.
No, because remember the bit when we were kids was like, why are girls always hanging out in groups? It's so hard to get one alone to ask them out. Our solution was
friend groups.
We bring all of the boys.
Yeah.
And we fight fire with fire. Mm-hmm. Mutually assured hanging out. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to kind of there it's man on man defense. So you're all kind of you section them off like zebras. Mm-hmm. I don't like this metaphor anymore. And then you find the one that you want and you ask her out. I think that's why friend groups were invented, was to allow guys to do that. And so if you're not taking advantage of it, come on, man. You're behind the evolutionary curve. You're going to get left behind.
Pick the one that you think is the prettiest and start with her. Ask her out first. And then if that doesn't work out, go to the one you think is the least pretty and ask her out.
It's like March Madness. You got to start with the one.
Start with the one seed, and then go down the sixth seed.
Cinderella story. Who knows?
Right. Who's to say? This is fine. You. This is not a problem. It feels like a problem because you're like, what if I break up the friend group? Whatever. Many people are concerned about this. Your friend group will break up eventually anyway. It might as well be because of you.
At least you get to do it on your terms.
You do get to do it on your terms. It's Is he in college? I assume he's in college. Did I miss this?
Probably.
Is this college?
No one says friend group if they're not in college.
That's true.
That's not necessarily
like,
true.
This is what college is for, man. It's either you ask these girls out and if they all say no, you at least know. Like, okay, that wasn't the right thing for me. Cool. I'm going to move on. Or you live the rest of your life knowing that you were close friends with like six women that you liked and you didn't ask any of them out.
Yeah. Come on, man.
What are you what?
While it does suck to be in the friend group that gets broken up because of two people who were dating and just couldn't keep it together, it is the one way that you can avoid that happening is if you're the reason the friend group breaks up. So you should just do that.
It also is kind of, speaking of what we were talking about before, naturally it'll split along gender lines. So for a while, until new girls get added to the group, it'll just be the boys. So you can enjoy that for as long as it lasts.
Dude.
You'll never have another chance like it again. So break it up.
Again, when
get the girls out of there.
When guys invented friend groups, they did sacrifice the boys. That is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Guys did invent friend groups and then sacrifice the boys. Because there was a period when I was in college where I was like, hey, guys, we all always hang out with the girls and they hang out separately. Why don't we hang out separately?
Because guys don't exist when they're not around girls. They see, it's like if a tree falls down in the woods, does it still want to date other trees? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
All right.
All right, man.
All right, anyway. Man.
Next question.
I think this is a good answer. I feel like we gave him some good advice.
I think you should break up. I think you should speed run this friend group.
Speed run the friend group. Yeah.
I think you should ask all of the girls out. And I think you, in my opinion, again, I've told this story many times. The one time I casually dated, I developed a reputation for myself. However, my current wife was in the around when that reputation was being developed, and she still married me.
He could also dress up like a woman and pretend to be an exchange student and infiltrate the friend group and try to suss out what they think about him.
And then you end up dating a guy and then he doesn't realize that you're a man. And then he writes us a question going, hey, I found out that my girlfriend is a man.
Dude. You could be like Shotbot dressing up like Rebecca Barbara. To get
what is that from Shaolin Showdown?
No, Mantis Flip Coin. All right, Two Ton Tunic. I like Shaolin Showdown. It's a fun show.
Shaolin Showdown was great,
dude. The little bald. This is not a slur. He was yellow. He was a yellow little guy. He was like the proto-Aang before there was an Aang. Like, he was the first bald little guy that we had on TV. And
every generation, a little bald guy comes along.
Yeah.
First, Arthur.
Yeah. Was Arthur bald?
Yeah, dude. He was an aardvark. Well, I guess they're covered in hair.
I like how you said that, as if, like, just everybody knows all aardvarks.
Whoa, yo, Caillou?
Yeah.
Little Bill?
Dude, we need to get the bald squad together. Imagine Little Bill, Caillou, I forget the name of the guy from Shaolin Showdown, Aang, and who else is bald? We need a fifth guy for our starting five. We need a fifth bald boy.
Dude, I did not spell Shaolin Showdown correct on the
first
try.
It starts with an X.
Yeah, no, I got that part, but I didn't get the rest of it. Characters.
Just Google Little Yellow Guy. Oh,
Omi.
What? Omi, right.
Mm-hmm.
We got Omi,
Himiko, Raimundo, and Clay.
Yeah, Clay was
a multi-ethnic group.
Cartoon character. Charlie Brown. Late minute substitution number one from Codename Kids Next Door.
Yes.
That's obviously who we put in. I'm actually going to hang up my all-time bald squad back here, and I'm just going to have pictures of all of them up on the wall behind me.
Man, they rode around on a Rayquaza. So freaking cool. Dude, that show was so good. Me and my brothers, we watched that every single Saturday. It was so good. Shaolin Showdown?
Yeah, because it was on like WB Kids or something like that.
Yeah, it was on PBS Kid. It was on public access cable, so we could watch it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. You gotta watch them poor cartoons.
Yeah. It was poor people cartoons, yeah.
It's like I go to school, a kid would be like, oh, I watch SpongeBob, and I'm like sitting there with my little tin cup being like, I watch Dragon Tales.
I watched Johnny Test. I was super at Sagwa. So excited when Maya and Miguel came on. And yeah.
Sagwa?
Sagwa?
Then the guy who invented that roll off a cliff and die.
the Segway?
Oh. My bad.
All right. Anyway, next question.
We're going to do another dating corner question.
Hey, y'all. I met a girl last summer. I recently started talking to her again. We're going to the same school in about a month, but right now we live a few states away. Mm. Is it best to wait to ask her out in a week or two into the semester? Wait. Is it best to wait to ask her out until a week or two into the semester, or is there a way to ask her out virtually? I don't see how the latter option would be feasible, but it seems like continuing to talk in a flux state is odd. What do you think, Ethan?
This is easy. This is the easiest question I've ever had on my life. This is easier than picking Umi for my point guard. Omi, whatever his
name Omi.
Is. Omi. You just call her. This is the thing that you believe that you have to be in person to ask a girl out is made up. You can call a girl on the phone and just say, hey, I would rather do this in person, but I would also rather ask you this now than wait. I'd love to take you out on a date the next time we're together. Is that something you'd be interested in? And then let her tell you yes or no. But if it's going well and you guys are enjoying talking to each other, you're talking to each other a lot, things are picking up, you really feel like there's some good flirtation energy here, sooner rather than later. Because if you don't ask her out, she's going to be like, oh, does he like me? Is he just using me? Are things going to be different when we get to school? But if you ask her out now, then she knows before she gets to school, there's no other distractions. She's not going to any parties. She's not being sidetracked by anybody else. She's not concerned that like you're doing the same thing. Like, oh, he's probably meeting other girls. Da, 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 da. It's like you are very clear with your intentions. I want to take you out when we are together. I think that's what you should do. I do not think you should wait. Waiting, bad. Do it now.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why the options were ask her out now virtually or wait, get back in person and then
wait two weeks. Well, you just got to give time for people to, you got to move back in, you know, settle in.
No, that's like the perfect time. That's the perfect time.
You get
to her dorm before she's fully moved in and you're like, hey, the cafeteria is whack. Do you want to go get something to eat?
Whoa. Easy.
You say whack.
Is whack.
The calf?
The calf is whack.
Oh, that's Sodexo food? Let's get out of here.
You want to get whack at the calf? Or do you want to get Jack in a box with me?
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
It was that entire question was killing me what the little things were called, but they're Shen Gong Wu. That's what they're called.
Shen Gong Wu,
yeah, the little artifacts that they use in Shaolin Showdown.
Yeah, I only remember the Mantis Flip Coin and the two ton tunic. I like the two ton tunic.
I remember the Yin Yo Yo and the Yang Yo Yo, where if you didn't use both of them, you became evil.
That's awesome.
I know, and so they're fighting each other. They're fighting each other. They teleport you, but if you don't use both of them, you become the opposite of yourself on the other side.
Right.
And so
you have
no motivation to go back there again because you're evil now.
let's see here. We got the changing chopsticks. I remember the chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
They would shrink the user or another object to the size of a grain of rice. Now that's an object. There were so many. This is a very long list.
A lot of Shen Gong Wu.
Wow.
Dude, I could get
this. There's probably hundreds of Shen Gong Wu.
How many seasons
did this show run for?
I think just three. That's how long cartoons run.
So they had like three seasons and 52 episodes total. So they had like at least two new Shen Gong Wu every episode. And the two-ton tunic was used more than once. So they're... Anyway.
Well, they all had like their specialty Shen Gong Wu, you know? His for instance, Omi's signature weapon was the Orb of Tornami, as everyone remembers, and it could unleash a mighty flood of water, and then it could also turn the water into ice. Man, this show was so freaking cool.
That is so cool.
Man. All right. Back to real question.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Phoebe, you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Big tech.
Okay.
I live in constant fear of my precious Twitter account getting taken down because I don't own it. I like owning the places where my website is, and that's why The Crunch, I don't know if you know this, The Crunch website is hosted on Patmos. Are you familiar with Patmos?
I am not. Tell me.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Patmos is your island of refuge in the ocean of big tech. They provide top-notch web and app hosting services, hosting and API GPU services. And if you know what that means, tell me. That's awesome. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm not the techie guy. They handle all of our website stuff, and it runs more smooth than it ever has in the past. All backed by no censorship guarantee. I know I can say anything I want on this podcast. I made a joke on the last episode, a little bit off color. I know that me saying something like that isn't going to get me thrown off the internet, and our livelihood won't be taken away from us. You like feeding our children, right?
I enjoy that very much.
Thanks to Patmos, I can safely feed my children ongoing. They offer unbeatable pricing and security from the ground up because they own the dirt that their servers sit on. They own everything that your stuff is hosted on. And I get the best service because I have like an actual person to talk to. Her name's Camilla. She's great. And they never offshore or sub out work. Everything is done in-house by them. There's just no better value in tech services than Patmos. I'm being honest when I say that. They've taken such good care of us. Whether you want to build an awesome new app or a website or host your current site, all you need to do is reach out to Patmos at patmos.tech. They help businesses, missions, churches of all sizes accomplish their goals with great value and service. Tell them The Crunch sent you and you get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration, whichever you need. That's patmos.tech, freedom as a service. Isn't that great, Bibi?
It's amazing.
I know, right? It's awesome. Thanks for joining me for the ad read. I love you. Hey, Phoebe. Do you remember when I crapped myself the first day I did Exodus 90?
I will never forget
that. So, hi, my name is Patrick Devy. I did Exodus 90 a couple of years ago, and I did poop my pants on the first day because I fasted and drank too much coffee. But did you know that Exodus 90 is not just about fasting and cold showers before Easter? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more.
So they do a little thing called St. Michael's Lent that you can actually go sign up for now if you are a man and you're interested in getting yourself ready for Advent, getting yourself ready for Christmas. You can download their app and you can actually get their they have daily scripture meditations, prayers, reflections on getting closer to God as a man. They also have a new course on the Eucharist just in time. For now that we're after the Eucharistic revival, we can, you know, get closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can let them know that we sent you and you can enjoy the beautiful prayers and courses they have available on there right now. It's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Give me another question here.
Too late to help. Okay, but still a good question. This one comes from Amanda. Question for the team. My husband's brother was getting married next weekend at a location about 45 minutes away at an outdoor wedding. I am fully any day now pregnant, and we have a 1.5-year-old. We were debating on going, getting a babysitter, me staying home, whatever our options were. They eloped and got married this weekend, and they are now having a vow renewal dinner next Saturday. We're super bummed because it really yanks the steam out of the celebration because they're already married, especially since we were really trying to make an effort to all go and be with them for the marriage. My husband feels like we shouldn't feel as much pressure to go, But it's also really sad that his brother invited us to a wedding, then turned around and re-invited us to a different event. They only posted their elopement on social media and haven't communicated with any of us at all. What would you do?
I wouldn't go, and I wouldn't feel bad about it. He turned on you. He opposed you. He used the mantis flip coin on his wedding. I don't think you have to go. I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's insane to say to someone, hey, I'm having a wedding. I expect you to be there. And then get married without telling anybody.
Yeah.
And then say, well, I actually got married, so I didn't really care about you being at my wedding, but it's still very important that you come to my reception. It's like, if he felt no obligation to tell his guests that he changed his plans,
yeah,
then obviously having guests as a part of his wedding is not something that's important to him. Mm-hmm. Or else he would have told his guests. So I think given the fact that you're 38 weeks or 39 weeks or however pregnant you are, and it's if it's an outdoor lunch or dinner or whatever, I would say no also. That's just too much to ask of someone. And if it's 45 minutes away and it's, you know, it's bedtime and all these other things.
It's like,
and the fact that he hasn't called, it's like, come on, it's your brother. It's like your husband's brother. So yeah. The least you can do if you elope is call your brother and be like, hey,
we eloped.
My bad.
Just couldn't wait, I guess.
I don't think you should go. And I do think your husband should tell your brother, like, hey, we were already on the fence about going. We were trying to figure out babysitter, you know, all these other things. But since, you know, it's not the wedding, we can celebrate with you guys another time.
Yeah, we so were gonna dumb. Do all. We were gonna jump through all these hoops to hoops go to the wedding.
To go to your wedding, yeah.
But now your wedding is over, and yeah. We were
now
not
you've
told.
Basically told us that you don't care if we're at your wedding. So why would we try?
Yeah, eloping is like super not romantic because it makes everyone in your life feel like trash.
Yes,
you know, it's like you didn't invite us. You know.
Yeah.
It's like my sister-in-law got married really quickly but she got married during COVID in a way that was like semi-eloping. Like she doesn't really elope, but she was like, we plan to get married during COVID and we're going to, and it's a really small ceremony. But she invited everyone virtually to it, you know, at the very least. She was like, you know, hey, I want you all to be present, as mm-hmm. present as you can be in these uncertain times, you know. In the uncertain times. Mm. And you know, anyway.
I got married during COVID and I had over 200 people at my wedding.
You did not get married during COVID.
I got married during the Delta variant spike.
Yeah, yeah. You got married a year after COVID.
I was still in the heat of battle.
Mm-hmm. You got married when people were still saying we're in the middle of a global pandemic, but right when that started to sound kind of ridiculous.
So April of 2020.
Yeah, right.
Zing. Yeah, I don't think you... don't worry about it. Obviously, it sounds like they didn't... I bet they didn't go, if I had to surmise.
I would imagine. I don't, I'm not going to look it up, but I don't think they did.
Yeah. Sweet. It stinks, though. Yeah, it's not fun to kind of be in that situation.
Yeah, you're just
especially,
like...
I just had my brother's wedding. And I can't imagine if, like, we had all these plans, we were going to drive and we had Emma's family come. Like, it's literally so much planning to try and do a wedding, especially when you have a kid, because everything is at a time that sucks. So it's like, we'll sacrifice, we'll figure it out. We'll make sure that he's at the mass. We'll make sure he's at the reception. We'll figure out the rehearsal dinner. Like, all these things that are normally during bedtime and nap time, we will figure it out. And we did. And it was wonderful. But if we had all these plans and then my brother was like, I got married. The courthouse Tuesday.
Be like, all right.
Was my witness.
See you at Thanksgiving.
See you at Thanksgiving. And also, please don't come when the baby's born. Is probably what I would say. You know? But he didn't do that. So.
Because he cares about you guys. Yeah. It's important. Well,
spent a lot of money on the wedding.
That's true.
That's the other thing.
All right.
Where would we go with the party bus?
This one comes from Isa Maria. There's a guy I've known for a few years now, and we've recently been hanging out with the same group of friends a lot more. I think he's so fun, and I would love to date him. I let his best friend know I'm interested in him by asking whether he's seeing anyone right now. He isn't. And his best friend said he'd help arrange something with me. Now, it's been about a week since then. I haven't heard anything from either guy. Do I bring it up to the best friend and check in on his progress, or do I give it more time? I don't want to seem eager. I also am anxious, thinking about my next interactions with both of them. Thank you.
Oh, I would hate to let the guy that I like know that I like him. How miserable that would be.
Worst thing in the world.
How miserable also, would it be to indicate to someone that I really enjoy spending time with, that I enjoy spending time with them?
His boy would know if you had no chance.
That's true. He would shut it down.
If it's really his best friend.
Yeah. If this has happened to me before.
And if his best friend is not doing the thing we've had this happen on the cast before, where the guy's like, I want to help the girl I like date my best friend. It's like, don't put yourself there, man. You're Lancelotting yourself.
You don't have to sit in the cock chair, bro. It's okay. This happens to me, or this happened to me back in the day, where people would come up to me and be like, is your friend Hot Josh single? And if he was...
You called him Hot Josh?
That was his name in college. It was just his name.
Oh, wait. Was that the guy that was your best man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Never
he's,
mind.
Oh, he's a good-looking guy.
I withdraw any questions. That's a good-looking guy.
They would ask me, like, is Hot Josh single? And I would just lie. I would just say, no. He's seeing someone. And they'd be like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Because I knew.
We'll do it later.
No. It was not like that. But it was like, and he would do this for me, right? Because women would come up to him and be like, is Ethan single? And he'd be like, you just don't want to date Ethan. Like, he would just tell them that this is not.
That's awesome.
He's not stable. But that's what you do, is you run interference for your boy. You know?
Yes.
And if he didn't run interference, if he wasn't like, if he told you that he's single and then you indicated to him that you liked him and he didn't say like, oh, well, he's actually going through a rough time right now, like something, right? Then it's probably a good sign. What I would say is,
our friends on the Jersey Shore call this falling on a grenade.
Mm-hmm. The Jersey Shore.
You never seen Jersey Shore? Television program on the music television network.
Yeah, they got snooker and billiards, all kinds of table games.
Snooker with hard R. No, they got Mike the Situation. What was it? Mike the Reconciliation. I don't know. We got Mike the Situation converted to Catholicism.
Oh, really?
I guess. Yeah, he like, stopped cool. being a manho, and he's now
amazing.
Forgive me for saying that. I never actually saw the show. He may have been extremely chaste, but I doubt it because that was like the point. But anyway, they would. The only thing I remember from the television program Jersey Shore was that they would refer to women as grenades, and I wasn't sure what that meant. But it meant it's the girl you distract from your friend while he goes after her friend.
I see. Yes.
So you fall on the grenade for your boy.
I think if I could have any TV celebrity convert to Catholicism, I think just in terms of the most impact it would have on society and culture, it would be Rob Dyrdek. No question.
Who's that?
Ridiculousness. Okay. You tell me you watch public access cartoons, you don't know who Rob Dyrdek is?
I don't know who Rob Dyrdek is now.
They watched basically, they would watch YouTube videos on a big TV. And then they had a girl there and a guy there and another and a big black guy. And they would all kind of like laugh at the YouTube videos. People like get hit in the balls and stuff.
Oh. So it was like a middle school sleepover, but on television?
It was America's Funniest Home Video for kids whose parents were divorced.
Nice.
Yeah. I think Rob Dyrdek converted to Catholicism, we'd see a big influx, you know?
I think if Tosh.0 converted to Catholicism.
Daniel Tosh?
Daniel Tosh. Close, did you know that Daniel Tosh is from Brevard County? Did you know
really?
That? Yeah, he went to BCC.
Influential people from Brevard County.
He's from Titusville. That's Kate funny. Upton is also from Brevard County. She went to Holy Trinity in Melbourne. She's from here. That weird,
do you
right?
know that? Do you know that Dr. Phil went to the University of Tulsa, where I was once a missionary?
Did you know that Dr. Phil's mustache is fake?
That's not true.
That's not true. That's not, I'm spreading misinformation on the internet.
You met a guy that does warm-up for Dr. Phil.
Are these credible accusations?
What?
What? Sorry.
No, at the Congress.
Dr. Phil's next on
the, our friend Paul from the Beatitudes.
I'm sorry. Who was having Congress with Dr. Phil?
You're being mean to me, and I don't like it. I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
Yes, we did. The guy on the Beatitudes does warm up for Dr.
Listen,
Phil.
Lady, just call the guy that you like.
It's simple.
And just say, what are you doing later? Do you want to hang out? He'll say no if he doesn't like you.
Yeah, he'll say yes if he does. That's actually, girls are like, how do I find out if a guy likes me? Kiss him on the mouth. Sorry, we got in trouble for saying that last time. We can't say that anymore. The guy who got mad is like, I'll give those one guys another chance. He listens to this episode and he's like, here it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah. For guys who hate that advice and Shaolin Showdown, this is a miserable episode.
This is the worst episode we ever could have come up with.
All right, we gotta wrap it up. It's the end of the show. What are you doing? Why are you reading? It's the end of the podcast.
It's the end of the podcast, just like how at the
are you
end
breaking up with me live on the show?
Showdown, Raymundo was revealed as the Shoku warrior, and every villain attacked the temple, and the Wudai warriors, led by Raymundo, led the counterattack. It's cool that they had the Hispanic guy become the leader of Brazil or of China. That's good. I'm happy that they did that.
He's from Brazil, from Rio de Janeiro.
They didn't have.
He's probably Catholic. Shaolin Showdown is Catholic.
They had like one person from every continent, except they had two people from Asia, which I thought was a little bit stacked. They had South America. They didn't have Africa, actually. They didn't have Africa. What?
Proportionally, two people from Asia does
that make does sense.
Make
sense. That does make sense. Yeah. I think Jack Spicer was from Britain. I think he was British. The villain, Jack Spicer.
It says here in the Wikipedia he was their most annoying nemesis.
He was.
Rip. All right, here we go. This is the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Patreon.com/TheCrunch if you like what we do and you want us to do more of it. Watch us on YouTube. We're on YouTube.com, The Crunch Catholic Podcast on YouTube. We have over 600 subscribers now, which is, that number's been going up and I don't know why. So people must be finding our show, which is great. So subscribe on YouTube if you like to listen there. And Patrick, do you have anything else for the people? I'm loving the drum and bass intro.
Man. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you later.